Great Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
And good afternoon. The program is called Straight Talk, and we do it every Monday through Friday here at Substation 2 on Cherry Road across from Winthrop University, talking about all things Rock Hill, York County, Fort Mill, Tinicay. If it's shaking up and down I-77, you'll hear about it here on this program. Our broadcast is brought to you by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. By Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Piedmont Medical Center with us today, a community built on care. And as always, our broadcast is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and streaming is provided by our friends at HighSpeedWeb.net. Jan Stevenson is with us today. She is the executive director of the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen, and we have a potpourri of items that we will talk to her about on this election day. Do want to remind you that our election coverage will begin tonight at 7 o'clock here on WRHI 100.1 FM, AM 1340, on Facebook Live, and of course, as always, the trusty WRHI radio app. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing much better now that I get to spend a little time with you. And for those who don't know, Jan Stevenson is the executive director of the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen, and she is our guest this afternoon on the Tuesday edition of Straight Talk. And for those who don't know, because as you and I were talking about before we came to air, a lot of new folks have come to York County, Rock Hill in particular, and may not be aware of who the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen even is.
Well, the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen is a nonprofit that was opened about 34 years ago by two women, I believe one priest, and brother David Boone. And they started, and it was just a small operation, and through the years it's grown pretty big. We serve the community of Crawford Road, but we do not turn anyone away. There are no questions asked. Everyone is treated as our guest. We get to serve them. So it's a great place to come and get a good hot meal.
Well, and Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen, of course, is a nonprofit. It's important to point that out, that you are pretty much dependent upon yourselves as to, you know, sustenance and supplies and things of that nature.
Correct, yes. We write grants to receive money, and we really depend on the donations of the kind people around in our community, from food drives and monetary donations.
You, like everyone else, have been affected by COVID-19, the coronavirus, and a number of places, you know, businesses and such were closed. And in your case, you all were closed for 3 weeks, but that didn't stop you.
No, sir. We tried serving bagged and boxed curbside to-go lunches for about a month, and then we realized that we had some issues that we needed to work out. We shut down for 3 weeks and reopened, and now we've eased back into hot lunches and sandwiches some days, but we're back at it. We're still serving out the front door because of capacity. We can't seat the people in our dining room, but we are serving a huge number of people, anywhere between 80 to over 100 every day, 6 days a week.
Now, you've been the executive director for quite a while, 14 years, is that right? You've been with Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen for 14 years.
I've been a volunteer. I was a volunteer there 14 years, and then I took over the executive director position when Bev Carroll retired.
Okay. Talk to me about some of the challenges that you all have been facing in this COVID-19. I don't want to say post-COVID-19 because we're not out of it yet,
right?
Although the end, in the opinions of some, is in sight.
Well, the biggest thing is just coming up with a different way to serve. We don't have to-go boxes. You know, we've never used to-go boxes, so we have to accumulate those. We have to ask people to donate those silverware packs that we've never had to use before, foil sheets. Of course, giving is down because so many people were out of work and unemployed, so that means our donations are down. So we're just having to be a little bit more creative and come up with a thing, but I'm confident that everything will work out for them, and we'll keep on going.
You mentioned that you're not able to see people there now, and a lot of folks came there, you know, for lunch, okay, in need. How is that working now? I mean, are there tables set up outside, or are they pretty much just to come and get it and go?
We do a drive-through. They come in cars, on mopeds, bicycles, the bus. We have a bus stop right up the street with the MyRide bus service. And so they ride the bus, and they come by, and they pick up their lunches. And then Emmett Scott is right up the street, and so they have a place that they sit out there and eat so that they don't congregate all in front of the soup kitchen. But it's really worked out well.
It has worked out well for
yes,
you?
Yes, sir. It's working really well.
Have there been a number of changes that you all have had to go through with all this? I mean, obviously, you know, when you eliminate the dining hall,
right,
for lack of a better term, you know, there's that. But what else have you been facing?
Well, you know, just the sanitization process. We've always cleaned and we've always mopped, but now making sure that our volunteers are socially distanced when they come in to prepare the food, making sure that everybody keeps their masks on. It gets, you know, it's just difficult. This is not a normal way of life for all of us, so we're just taking it each day at a time and trying to make sure that we do it correctly and follow the rules. But that's not the only change. Some of the other changes are that we are seeing more new people than we've seen before. We're seeing people that have been out of work and have never had to come to the soup kitchen. So we're seeing a lot of new faces.
That's got to be a little bit of a, what's the word that I want, a dramatic change, not only for them, but you as well.
I'm sure it is. You can tell when they come through the line that they're uncomfortable. They're not sure how the process works. And we just, you know, you would think they were sitting at Chick-fil-A. We're just greeting them and handing them their food and thanking them and telling them to have a great day. And they are very, very appreciative.
Now, you have some of the greatest volunteers in the world that you and I talked about before we came to air, and I wanted to put a little spotlight on that.
Oh, we do. The Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen, when it was started, Bev Carroll and Catherine Sullivan, they organized a volunteer list where the volunteers work. They choose, like, on the first Monday of every month, we'll have the same group of people. So that group of people bond together, and they work together that first Monday every month. And so it goes on through each day of the week. And we have awesome volunteers. They are the backbone and the blood of our soup kitchen. And I am very thankful because they make my job possible.
How does one get involved with Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen? I mean, you mentioned the volunteers. What if there's someone sitting out there?
They can go on Facebook to Dorothy Day and leave a message on Facebook. Or they can go on our web page, which is the DorothyDaySoupKitchen.com. Or they can give me a call. And they can call my cell phone number, and I'll get them signed right up.
Well, let's start with the cell phone number. What is that?
It is 803-412-0411, and okay, I'll get you fixed up.
Just that simple?
That simple.
Now, what are the hours that you all are in operation over there?
Well, normally our hours, a group would come in around 9:30 in the morning and get the food prepared, and they would serve it at 11:30. But now that's a big change because we have to start boxing up the food by 10:30 to get it out at 11:30. So somebody has to come in really early to prepare the meal. And so that has been a little bit of a change for our people. So a normal day would be from like 8:30 until 12:30 or 1.
Okay. So I was going to ask you, define really early, but, you know, that's...
Well, it depends on the meal that's on the menu. They get a copy of the menu ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
And then they can estimate how long it's going to take them to prepare that.
Okay. So how do you determine your menu every day? Is it just by what you have on hand, or...?
It is. I take an inventory of what we have and what we've had donated, and then I set up a menu, and I send it out by email to all the group coordinators, and then that kind of gives them a heads up to know what to expect for that next week.
So you're working a week in advance, basically.
Yes, sir.
Well, how are you getting your donations and such? I mean, because I know that, you know, and this is one of the most giving communities I've ever lived in my life anywhere. But, you know, with the limitations that were imposed with, you know, businesses suddenly being, you know, closed and that sort of thing, that, you know, obviously donations had to have fallen down.
They have, and it is a challenge at times. But like today, right before I left to come over here, a vehicle pulled up. They wouldn't give me their name or their address just so I could send them a thank you note, but they dropped off cases of water. They dropped off fresh fruit. And those kind of things come every day. People are very generous. They see it on Facebook and on our webpage, the things, the items that we need. We try to keep an updated list of things that we need out there. And we're very fortunate.
Now, you mentioned this, you're not getting any kind of federal funding or anything.
No, sir. We're strictly a nonprofit.
I mean, how are you keeping the lights on?
Well, through donations, grants mainly. We have a shoestring budget, and we're good at it. And Bev Carroll taught me how to manage things, and I have thrown in my own little spin to stuff, and we're doing it. We're making it work.
I mean, do you have fundraisers or anything like that during the course of the year?
We have a golf tournament, and our golf tournament's coming up in August.
Uh-huh.
And so everybody needs to pay attention to our Facebook page for the date of the golf tournament. And you can go ahead and get signed up for that. We're excited. That's our fundraiser for the year. And then there's food drives. We have many food drives throughout the year. So if you ever see those boxes sitting around, please feel free to donate to those.
Okay. I mean, is this the thing where, you know, I get this notice like once a year to hang some canned goods on my mailbox or that sort of thing? Are you all included in that?
Some of the scout troops will publish a little letter and put it on their neighbors. It's usually done by neighborhoods.
Okay.
Like some parents will, their child is too young to work at the soup kitchen, so they will get their child to do a fundraiser by gathering canned goods to support the soup kitchen instead of being able to work there. You have to be 16 to volunteer there.
I've got to ask you, what led you into this line of work?
Oh, I don't know.
I've noticed with people that do what you do, it's almost as if it's pardon the term, a higher calling, if you will.
I think you're probably correct about that. I think that my father was a minister, and throughout our life, different people were in and out of our life that he tried to help or take care of, and we were always told that we were in the middle of the road. There'd be always people that had more and people that had less, and so that it was our responsibility to help those that needed help. And I find pleasure in it. I love my job. I probably have the best job of anybody.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, when we were talking before we came to air, you were very enthusiastic about it all. I just thought, you know, this is a special lady that does this, you know. I mean, where, you know, you can't wait to get there every day.
That's right.
You know, that sort of thing.
I love it, and I love our guests. We have probably wonderful people that come and eat at the soup kitchen every day, and it's just it's a fun place to be.
Now, with the pandemic and everything, you had mentioned this earlier, that people that ordinarily had normal lives, for lack of a better term, suddenly found themselves in that position of needing these services. You talked about how uncomfortable they were and that sort of thing and coming through there, but obviously with your engaging personality, you just put them right at ease, as well as your staff doing that. As business has reopened and people are going back to work and that sort of thing, obviously they are going back to getting their lives, you know, back on track. Has anyone been back since then, you know, just to kind of say, hey, you know, thank you for having been here?
Not yet, but I anticipate we'll probably get a few volunteers from the people that we've served that have never had to have the soup kitchen experience before. Mm-hmm. But it's a You know, when I first started volunteering years ago, there were a group of men that came in every day and they ate, and they were in a work truck. And I questioned that one day to somebody, and I was told, you need to be really careful what you think about somebody coming to eat at the soup kitchen, because they give a big donation every month, because they can eat a good meal here and get back to work within the hour, and it helps out the soup kitchen.
And that's important stuff, absolutely.
So I learned a little lesson a long time ago about that, so we are very grateful. We welcome everybody.
Jan Stevenson is with us today. She is the executive director of the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen. We're going to take our mid-program break right now. We'll come back. We'll talk more about how you can get involved and help out the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen, of course, and as they continue to serve those in need, not only during this pandemic, but 365 days a year, if you will. Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, here's the real pressure part of this whole show. We broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University, where they make fresh subs and salads before your very eyes, okay? And the way they do that, and is written in these white letters here, and it's very simple. On the count of three, slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. You got that?
Oh, I'm supposed to say this?
Well, we'll say it together.
Okay.
One, two, three. Slice, 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 garden, 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 garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Are you a member of Founders Federal Credit Union and need to deposit a check? Try Mobile Deposit in the Founders app. It's quick, easy, and you'll have access to your money without having to leave your home. Relax. Try Mobile Deposit. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And we're back for our Tuesday edition of Straight Talk. Jan Stevenson, the executive director of the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen, is with us today as we talk about who the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen is. And, of course, where are you all located, by the way? I never did ask that.
Oh, we're on Crawford Road at 902 Crawford Road. We rent a spot in Bannon Hall. It's across the street from St. Mary's Catholic Church.
Okay.
And we have a kitchen and a dining hall there.
Okay. Now, we've been talking about, you know, how you all been getting through this pandemic. Obviously, there are certain needs that you need, pandemic or not, at the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen. And I wanted to spend some time talking about what maybe some of these needs are so that people can perhaps come forward and give you all a hand.
Well, course, well, you know, we can always use monetary donations.
Okay.
But for people that want to purchase things or donate things that they may even have, we could use to-go boxes to put our food in each day. We could use silverware packs, the little to-go packs, even if you have a bag of them that you've saved from eating out during the pandemic and mm-hmm. you haven't used those little packets, we'll take them.
They're just sitting in a drawer.
Right. We'll take what you've got. We could use a ground beef. Ground beef would be like finding a treasure chest. We don't ever have beef, so that would be awesome. We need fresh fruit. We like to give them something that is nutritious every day. Even the days that we give them a sandwich meal, we really like to give them some fresh fruit. We're trying to supply a very nutritious meal, whether it's hot or if it's a sandwich meal. We want it to be well-balanced and nutritious.
How many people come through the soup line eat on a daily basis, just as a guess?
Oh, well, we usually keep count. Before the pandemic, our average was about 65 to 70 a day. And now we're serving anywhere between 80 to 120 a day.
That's quite an increase. That's almost a 25% increase.
Right. And there's just the need is more right now.
And again, we should point out that the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen is a 501c3 nonprofit, which means that if you give them cash donations or money, you can write that off your tax. It is perfectly tax deductible. It's legal. Also, I would imagine you can write off the expense of the food and the
yes,
other
sir.
Sundry items and such. How much assistance do you get from the supermarket, so to speak? You know, I mean, I often hear these stories about how they'll have surplus food that they literally have to throw away.
Well, normally we get an opportunity to shop at Second Harvest twice a month where we can buy the food, but we don't really get donations from supermarkets because they have a contract with Second Harvest.
Okay.
So that gives every nonprofit a fair opportunity to get items that they need.
Okay. So Second Harvest is the key to this. Okay.
Right. So having said that, you know, we had restaurants when the pandemic started and businesses just closed.
Right.
We were really, really blessed by getting meats and cheeses and different local businesses here in Rock Hill were just awesome. And they brought in things that were going to spoil in their refrigerators. And so they were giving them to nonprofits that could feed the community. And it just makes you feel so good that the community is willing to reach out and help.
And then you had the 3 weeks that you all were actually closed, but you still were able to feed the hungry, as it were.
Oh, yes, sir. We took sandwiches to the homeless in the areas that we knew where they were. We did food box drops for some of our seniors, and the ones that were shut-ins, we had the food box delivered. And those were not just a box. It was dairy, fresh meat, fresh produce, vegetables, dry goods. It was a massive amount of good stuff for those senior citizens.
Absolutely. So as we're moving forward through this pandemic, okay, and obviously we're one day closer to being out of it. You've talked about those who have been coming through the soup line that ordinarily would have never probably imagined 6 months ago that they would ever be anywhere near a soup line other than to donate or contribute or something like that, but actually had to have a need for it. Will you see the numbers go down as far as people coming through?
I anticipate that we will see them go down to probably 75, you know, people a day. I don't know that it'll ever go back down to the 55 or the 60, because I think we've attracted some newer people into the community who are probably going to stay here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of people from up north that came, and just from talking to them, they came at the beginning of the coronavirus, and they think they're going to stay here. But, you know, it would be it would be a great thing if we didn't have to have soup kitchens. But
it'd be a perfect world then,
honestly,
right?
Honestly, I love what I do, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
I was going to say, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I would probably be volunteering somewhere else, but I love my job.
Well, and again, we talked in the first part of the show about the volunteers. You were mentioning to me off mic earlier, you've had some volunteers that have been there since day one when the doors opened 30 years ago.
Right, yes. We've had several people that have volunteered there when Bev first started, and Toddie Wilkerson comes to mind. She's a great volunteer, and she has 2 days a month, and she hasn't been able to come lately because of the quarantine and everything, but we miss her, and she does things that she can do from home. She is willing to help out in any way she can. She's a great supporter.
How has the quarantine affected your staff in that, I mean, obviously we're all social distance conscious minded now and that sort of thing, and some are wearing, the mask and some are not, and this and that, and everyone seems to have a variety of opinions on the pandemic and, what is necessary and what is not. But again, we're all in it together, as the slogan goes, and together we'll all get through it. But one of the biggest thoughts in my mind is, in a case like yours, where it's volunteered, what motivates them to continue to come?
I think, we've had a few, because primarily our volunteers are in an older age group because they're retired and they are more flexible. But most of them are coming back right now. They've started easing into it, and we keep the social distancing going on. We have masks and we have gloves. But I think that people, you're either called to do this type of service or you're not. I mean, it's not for everybody. It's just like being a nurse or an assistant, surgical assistant. That's not for everybody. Everybody can't stand to see blood. A lot of people just can't do this type of service.
Right.
But they're able to do another type. So I think it's a calling.
Okay. Well, and obviously, I mean, it's like the old adage of the Marines, many are called, but few are chosen, But you all are certainly doing God's work, for lack of a better term, because sadly, in as prosperous as this community and county is, there is a need for what you all do, because there is a segment of our society, unfortunately, that need the hand, the help, the hand up is
right.
The word I'm looking for here, not so much a handout. So again, for those who want to donate or volunteer, how do they get in touch with you?
Give me a call at 803-412-0411, or you can email me at info@DorotheDaySoupKitchen.org.
Okay. Is there a website or anything like that?
They can go on the www.DorotheDaySoupKitchen webpage. And they can also join and be our friend on Facebook.
So there's a number of ways that they can reach out to you and get involved or contribute or, in some small way. It's
right.
The tiniest gestures, they add up.
That's it. And the golf tournament's coming up in August, and we take everybody. Y'all come on out and support the golf tournament.
Well, we got to have you come back to do a show about the golf tournament there then.
Well, we'll do it.
All right. Jan Stevenson's been our guest today. She is the executive director of the Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen. This didn't hurt a bit, did it?
No, sir.
Makes you want to do it again, doesn't
it? Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Then I did the job right. Thank you so much, Jan. Appreciate it. Straight Talk brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And, of course, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. We broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University, where they make fresh subs and salads right before your very eyes. And as Jan and I are going to tell you, the only way they do it is
slice, garden.
Manny Kimmel back with you tomorrow. Have a great day.